Welcome to the KO Knockout Podcast. Today, we sit down with Kelly Leinberger, Principal on Origination and Capital Markets at Ridgemont Equity Partners, where she focuses on creating access to opportunity, creating the right message to the market, and being accessible. She has had an evolving role at Ridgemont over the past 12 years and believes that the right career track is one where you feel satisfied and fulfilled. Please enjoy.
We are here because as women in business, we don't want to walk alone on our path to success. We believe that by teaching and supporting one another, we can gain the knowledge we need and build a community where we belong. We are the Knockouts, women who champion other women and see every obstacle as an opportunity.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Weekly Knockout. I'm here today with Kelly Leinberger, who is a longtime alumni of the KO Conference Series Private Equity Events. Kelly, I want to welcome you to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for having me. Glad to be here.
This is fun because I've met you a bunch of times, but I don't really know you and your background. I know that you lead origination and capital markets at Ridgemont, and that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different firms. So would you kick off by sharing with us what is your role in the private equity ecosystem today?
So I am a principal on our origination and capital markets team. We have several people that are involved in that effort with us, and it's been a longstanding practice of our partnership for over 20 years, which I think is important to call out. It's pretty developed. It's very mission oriented, and it's been longstanding. It has evolved a good bit over time. And today, I think about our practice having a couple different key pillars that can keep us focused. The first one, in the first part of the title of our group, origination, is creating access for our partnership, for our fund, creating access to opportunity. We also do that on behalf of our portfolio companies. So we are sourcing investment opportunity from hundreds, 500 plus different sources every year. And we've sourced over 2,000 deals on average over the last several years. So just a ton of velocity, and that's across all of our sectors. And it also ranges from size perspective as well, from add-on investments with a couple million of EBITDA up to 50 million plus of EBITDA across all of our sectors and our 30 or so portfolio companies. So that's the main piece of our charge, is creating access to those opportunities. And then behind that is just a general awareness of the Ridgemont brand and platform and portfolio. And a big piece of that is creating the right message to the market, being available, being accessible, communicating clearly what our strategy is and how to get in touch with us for that. There's also some visceral awareness around just the culture of our firm, how we think about partnering with management teams, how we think about partnering with others in the M&A community. So that awareness is the second key. And then the third thing that I think about spending our time on, both personally and as part of our origination and capital markets team, is just value creation. Like, what are we doing that's different from other firms? What are we doing that's advancing the ball and moving the needle, both from a sourcing perspective, but also post-close, and how we can help create value? So that awareness, that access to opportunity, and then just value creation are the things that drive us. And those are broad concepts, but it helps keep us on track, as a firm and me personally.
It sounds like in this role, you're able to tap into some of your natural gifts. And I found out that you're actually an amazing athlete. You played Division I field hockey at Davidson, which is an amazing program. I went to UVA, so I'm familiar, with it. It's very impressive. Tell us about, this competitiveness that you have innately and your affinity for relationships and sort of how sales and marketing ties into finance. How have you brought your unique gifts into this role that you're in?
Yeah, I think my, you know, call it now 30 plus years of being part of a team, from, you know, being a small child on soccer teams and field hockey teams, and then, you know, and then some individual sports like track and field and running, were just so formative for me, allowing myself to, you know, to compete, to put effort towards something through practice and game day, to apply my skills and gifts and efforts to something, is very formative. I mean, it's something you think about as a student, as a professional, and then being on a team. I definitely always preferred the team sports. The individual sports were a part of my athletic career as well, but I love team sports and have been, you know, had the opportunity to be on some fantastic teams and surrounded with people that really lifted me up, things that we were working on doing together as a team, and, you know, from passing the ball around the field and trying to get it in the goal to you know, developing our program, you know, both at, you know, especially at the collegiate level, and just learning how to see yourself as part of that team as well, and how important it is to have really positive relationships and energy, and to make a concerted effort to have that happen. And then lastly, knowing when you are, you know, just a mere freshman on the team trying to learn the ropes, still showing up to practice every day and giving it your all, understanding your role there, and how, you know, at some point you'll be the leader of that team and a key contributor, and just knowing that you have to have that perspective and that patience, and that your day will come. So that team dynamic, the competitiveness, absolutely played into wanting to go into a profession like private equity, like finance, and in a role, in a client facing, you know, sales and marketing oriented role that foster that mission driven, goal oriented, competitive spirit, but also the affinity to play as part of a team, and not being worried about being the, you know, the key player, but being a key contributor, I think is something that I now have greater perspective on.
Yeah, that's a great point, because even where you are now, sometimes you're probably the leader and sometimes you're probably still the freshman. It just depends what team you're working on, which group, what your role is. Is that your experience?
Yes, I think that's very fair. A very fair assessment to say is having the self-awareness to know when, you know, when you're just somebody on the field trying to advance the ball, and when you're the one calling the plays, and being able to move between those roles is fun and important, and having that versatility and just, again, self-awareness, I think is important.
It's funny. I just started my younger son in jiu-jitsu, and he talked me into taking the free class. And I was like, all right. I mean, he's going to be entertained by this. So I did it. And it's the first time in a long time that I've fully felt like the freshman. Like, I just had no idea what I was doing out there, and was just like a sponge. I mean, it was like a foreign language, just so out of my element. And I think sometimes it's so good to have those experiences which force you to remember what it's like when you knew nothing and you were just doing the best you could to just do what you were told and do the best you can. So do you ever, you know, try to, I mean, you have two new kids, so you probably don't have a lot of time for hobbies, but how do you keep yourself challenged and keep that growth mindset now that you're a leader in your position and you've been here for, you know, a very long time, 12 years at Ridgemont?
What you just commented on about being a sponge in a new environment is something that comes up a lot, you know, in our roles and really in private equity in general. You're constantly learning about new business models, understanding industry and market dynamics in a different way, and being introduced cold to new businesses that you're having to quickly get up the curve for. And you know that you're sitting across the table from somebody who built, you know, a business over decades or generations that knows more than you'll ever know about a business. But, you know, here you are in a seat to talk about what the next phase of that company looks like, and being able to quickly adapt, and you don't need to be an expert at everything, but being an expert at, you know, your firm and your industry about, you know, what you can do and what your experience and perspectives, you know, as a firm and individually, is what I try to stick to, because I certainly can't be an expert on all of the subsectors that Ridgemont focuses on, but I can be an expert on Ridgemont. And if I can box that up, then I it's easier to keep things straight, and it's easier to, you know, ask questions and not you know, position like you know everything. So that's something that has kept me grounded, is to know that I know a lot about Ridgemont and what we've done and what we're focused on, but I certainly can't know everything about every industry that we invest in, and certainly not about, you know, a multi-generational business that, you know, we're learning about in real time and thinking about how we would be a great partner for them.
When you started at Ridgemont 12 years ago, it wasn't even Ridgemont. It was the pre-spin out, and you've essentially been on this ride building the firm, watching it evolve. I don't even know. I mean, 12 years ago, did this role on the team even exist? Like, what has it been like sort of, I mean, helping to build this business? How have you been involved in that?
So I joined our firm, our partnership, in January of 2010. And it was a predecessor group at that time. It was a Bank of America entity. And within a few months of joining this group that is now Ridgemont, we talked about effecting the spin out from Bank of America. The leadership of our team had a great track record, had, you know, the confidence that we could go out and do this in an independent fashion. And we got a ton of support across, you know, every area where we needed to effect this spin out. It doesn't happen overnight. It happened over months and years to create what is now Ridgemont. But it was a great privilege and a great lesson in right place, right time, in terms of being a member of the team in the early days as we thought about forming a brand, forming a platform that could draw in opportunity, both on the M&A front, on the capital raising. How could we articulate to the market what our strategy was, why people would want to do business with us? And all those things were topics that we're developing in real time. And we've had great success and momentum on the platform since then. And a lot of good decisions were made, you know, a decade plus ago that we're seeing today. And my role has evolved a good bit. Our practice, our origination capital markets business development practice, has been in place for 20 years. So there was precedent for that. There was some foundations, but we absolutely had to pivot and evolve. So there was, you know, buy-in, you know, internally about the importance of having a partner-led practice and having talented people on the team that were good fits and good ambassadors for the firm. So that that path was, you know, was there, but there were a lot of small and big tasks that came up in the early days that I was privileged to be a part of.
So you've got your two girls. One of them is fairly new. They're 1 and 4.
Yes.
You know, what is your advice to them on finance and this career? Like, I know you've been on this wild ride, and private equity has grown immensely just in the last 10, 20 years. It's crazy. All of the capital that has been raised and the firms and the opportunity set is just really enormous. Would you encourage them to pursue a career in finance, or how would you advise them to think about finding the right career to match their interests and gifts?
I would first of all encourage them to do something that they felt satisfied and fulfilled by, and most of the time, in order to feel that, it's going to line up with what you're naturally good at. So not force things that aren't there. Try to think about what would get you excited, make you feel rewarded, and that's different, you know, for everybody. So I would encourage them, and hopefully with my guidance of watching them grow and experiences I've had, just how they can think about, early on, just the types of tasks and environments that really elevate them and motivate them, make them feel fulfilled, and focus on that. It doesn't have to be directed towards one specific profession per se, but the earlier you start to identify those trends, probably the better for everybody. And if they'd like to be in finance, I'd love that, and I would support it and provide, you know, my lifelong lessons around that. I think there will be more opportunity if for different types of skill sets in professional services and financial services in particular. So I love that. It doesn't need to just be, one cookie cutter type of mold or person that that can be successful here. And hopefully all of the learnings and the changes in our industry and the changes in the workforce will be to the benefit of our girls.
That's such a great point, because you look at what you love to do and your skill set. I mean, you're not maybe I'm misspeaking, but a sort of computer,
Excel geek, ninja.
Like,
no.
Excel
no,
ninja. I don't want to offend anyone. No. I personally am an Excel ninja and a bit of a nerd that way. But you're a little bit more of a relationship. You have relationship skills and sales and marketing and brand building and human connections, and that is such a valuable skill on a team. And I think we think of finance as finance, numbers, but it's just like any team. You need every personality to come together to be successful. So I think that is such an optimistic and great way to look at the future opportunity set for all people who are interested in this field.
Yeah, that's well said.
I know it's been a very busy 2 years. What are you looking forward to? What's kind of coming up next? What do you think next year is going to be like in the private equity industry? What are you gearing up for?
I don't have any crystal ball per se about what next year is going to hold. What I do know is that things can change on a dime, and situations and scenarios and market dynamics that seem insurmountable are not. And the private capital markets have done extremely well. And there is a humongous universe of opportunity to put capital behind private businesses. And there are a lot of private equity firms and sponsor-backed businesses out there, all of us working towards the same types of goals. So I think there's going to continue to be a ton of opportunity. Ridgemont just has to worry about capturing our share of the ones that are well-suited for us. It's hard to say what volume will look like, but I know there's been businesses that have done really well over the last couple of years that are sponsor backed or still founder or family owned that will seek liquidity because it's been a very favorable market for sellers. So we should expect to see more activity, hopefully across all of our sectors. So we'll do the best we can to stay in front of that, and more. It's about how to differentiate your platform and how to have the level of self-awareness as a firm to think about, where you're best suited to be a partner to these management teams. What is actionable for us? What is in the realm of something that we can think about closing a deal around and executing a growth strategy within our time frame? And we've done it for decades, and just thinking about how to do it again, how to create those repeatable strategies is a really interesting exercise and something that we and everyone should be constantly be thinking about. And if you can focus on that and your own fund and your own strategy, there should be a lot of opportunity continue to be. It's hard to tell what what COVID dynamics could come into play, but I think we've all learned that the market can weather them.
Absolutely. Well, I know you mentioned earlier to me offline that you see thousands and thousands of opportunities every year. And what you mentioned, your hit rate is fairly low. What is it typically?
Yeah, I mean, it's less than 2%. So that's a special business and team that can think through spending every day trying to create as much access to opportunity as possible, knowing that it's just a low volume business compared to other industries. I mean, there has to be a perfect match in order to be the right capital partner for a business that can achieve the growth that we're looking for and to have the alignment that's needed. Those stats aren't unique to us. It's an industry stat, but yeah, we're trying to keep that funnel as big as we can at the top, but also keeping in mind that what's most important are the ones that are qualified and well-suited and actionable for us. But there's a lot of variables that go into that equation. And there's also a big consequence of missing something.
Absolutely. And I'm sure those variables change year to year. So that must be the fascinating, putting the pieces of the puzzle together and just figuring out how are you going to get your 30 deals done in 1 year, whatever the number is. Well, thank you so much, Kelly. I am so excited to see you and learn a little bit more about you. I hope we will see you at our private equity summit, which is, fingers crossed, knock on wood, very hard in June in person in Boston, if traveling is back on the 22 calendar for you.
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to be there. Always have enjoyed the events and the things that you've done personally to help elevate and create good awareness and access for women in our business.
Thank you for joining the conversation. With 30 plus years of being on a team, Kelly has been able to hone her natural gifts and create positive relationships, from managing over 500 sources each year to ensuring that the perfect match has been selected to be the right capital partner. It certainly is a balancing act to manage all of the variables that go into the equation, but Kelly believes that nothing is insurmountable. If you'd like to learn more, please click on the link in the show notes.